This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines. Visit the number one volume Acura dealership in the Southeast United States 12 years in a row at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines.
All right, Ira. Your Bitcoin bag is growing also, right?
I keep checking. I'm just riding the dips.
Oh, then you're doing really good. That's for damn sure. All right. We needed it yesterday like a shot in the arm, brother. I mean, you know, overall, I was laughing at that video that Ethan posted, and you were asking the question about, you know, with the Pelicans, and Jimmy saying, well, we're still a better team. And, you know, up until that night, they were 19-20 in their last 39. After last night, you're 20-20 in your last 40. So it was really nice to see. But when are we crossing that threshold of not being the team that's 20-20? Because that's basically what you've been. You've been a 500 team for 40 games.
And that's the thing. You know, so when, on one hand, you can look at yesterday's game against Cleveland and go, wow, this team has it in them. But that was the takeaway. So why don't you have it in them more often? Why does it take the debacle on Friday night against the Pelicans to get you motivated for something better? The regular season for the Miami Heat is what it is. Big O, we know it. We talk about it every week here in our Acura Pembroke Pines report. I just would like to see a better sense of them giving a crap about games that could make their lives easier. And you know, Spo will turn it around. We love it the hard way when he gets in the play-in. This is who we are with the road less traveled, the tough road. No, that's a bunch of bullcrap. Because you can catch lightning in a bottle once, but lightning is not going to strike twice in the same place. It's just not. And if you wind up getting the number 8 seed, and look, I know Heat Nation, oh, we have Boston's number, we're in Jason Tatum's head. This is a great team this year. The Celtics this season look like the Warriors did at their prime, like the Cavaliers did at their prime. They are a great team for the ages with one of the greatest regular seasons of all time, and they're not going to go anywhere. So if
my shocker with the Celtics is that Porzingis has stayed healthy, actually. That's really my – because that's kind of what I thought would happen to the Celtics, that you're counting on Porzingis. It's really hard. Like, I have a hard time relying on a guy that's been – his body has been so unreliable. That's what I thought. But you knew that if he would stay healthy – dude, they have the talent. I mean, they should be a really good team. They have
the thing is, and Porzingis as a number 3 option is where he fits. With the Knicks, with the Mavericks, and to a degree with the Wizards, they wanted him to be more. They wanted him to be the number 2 to Doncic in Dallas. That's not who he is. Now you got Tatum. Now you got Jaylen Brown. And now Porzingis can be that third guy. He doesn't have to, but can. So again, Big O, if they get in the play-in and they lose the first game like they did last year to the Hawks, even if they win the second one and go to Boston, there's way too many memories for Boston to slip up like Milwaukee did against the Heat in the first round. On the other hand, you look at a game last night and you say to yourself, man, if we get the Cavaliers in the first round, good things can happen. That's a team they play very well against. That's a team that still could wind up number 3. You get to number 6, you're fine. So why crap games away, like against the Pelicans, like not closing against the Embiid-less Sixers? That's the frustrating thing about this team. And you know what? Eric Spoelstra works his ass off to get ready. I know what you think of him as one of the all-time greatest coaches. Bam Adebayo, for whatever you think or don't, you would agree, Big O, works his butt off, plays hard all the time.
But so, you know what? Going back to the Porzingis talk, that's Bam. He's the third guy.
And
he's
fine.
Like, by the way, in that Sixers game, you need somebody else to step up, right? He took 10 shots, and he shot, if I remember correctly, 8 of 10 in that game, which was a very high percentage, but it's like, that's why he's a 3, and he's not a 1 or a 2.
No, like, shots in the fourth quarter of that game. Totally agree with that. So my point being, it comes down to Jimmy Butler. Yes. And this whole thing of I'm going to pace myself, I was talking about this in the press room yesterday. There's a very good chance if he wind up in the play-in, they'll wind up in the play-in by one game in the standings. One game that could have made a difference. Big O, I go back to the third game of the season. When Jimmy Butler took the night off for rest in Minnesota in what was largely a close game in the third night of the season. You play with the basketball gods. You toy with them. by taking time off, by saying, this game doesn't matter. I'm going to miss this game. I'm going to miss 20 games. I'm going to miss a quarter of the season. This is what happens, and you wind up punishing your teammates because injuries do come later in the season. With Tyler, with Kevin Love, with Duncan, through no fault of his own. We've all dealt with back pain. We know how debilitating that can be. But if you wind up getting yourself in a better position, you can live and absorb the injuries without the kind of fate the Heat have. This Jimmy Butler is a 75% of the time guy thing doesn't work in the NBA unless you're a super team and have three great players.
65%.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
Yeah. I'll go down to at least 60 because he doesn't show up for 20-25% of the games. And then there's another like 15-20% of the games that he's there, but he's,
he walks through. Yeah. That really he walks through the night and you wind up desperate and having it happen. Yeah.
Okay. So I have this theory now.
Okay.
This is new theory now with Jimmy. And here's my, he knows his body is practically cooked.
Okay.
And he no longer can be Jimmy Badass for a ton of regular season games.
Okay.
And season games. And so now he's at a point where even if he wanted to, I don't think he can anymore, Ira. I think he has a certain amount of fumes left in that gas tank. And so I think he's pacing himself, not only because he's taking care of himself, but because I think that body, we're kind of getting to that point. So he's kind of saving as much as he can because he really, in the end, he couldn't go balls out even if he wanted to for the rest of the regular season and throughout a long stretch of the playoffs, as you know, as brutal as the playoffs can be. So I think Jimmy knows that that body of his is not what it was anymore.
And not only does Jimmy know, Big O, but the Heat know. And there's a reason they made the plate for Damian Lillard. And there was the desperation and waiting to the last minute on the slim hope it would happen because they needed that alpha. And then before the trading deadline in January, when they realized where Jimmy stood, look, it's a risk giving up that future first-round pick for Terry Rozier. But the Heat realized that Jimmy needed more in support. So here's the deal right now. You can be an alpha in the NBA, but if you're not an all-the-time alpha, it changes. Now, I'll give you an example. Tomorrow, the Golden State Warriors come to town. Steph Curry is a great, great player. Klay Thompson was a great, great player.
Done.
But right now, last night in the game against Minnesota, Steve Kerr held out Steph Curry during part of crunch time because he knew his leading man was exhausted. Klay Thompson has been moved to reserve role so they can maximize what's left of him. This is the tough thing in the NBA, and the one thing I think the Heat have not been great at, although they tried it once, and I'll relate to that in a second, is when you realize that you need to move on or to change the dynamic. They did that with Dwayne Wade to much consternation in South Florida, and you know what, Big O? Look, Hassan Whiteside was the wrong choice for replacement leading man. We all know that.
Yeah.
But the thought process was not necessarily wrong that Dwayne had reached and maximized at that point that he was not going to be a leading man, nor was he when he came back from Chicago and the Cavaliers. You have to start to realize that also. That's the hardest thing. You see it in music when you see aging stars touring and you're like, what are you doing? What are you doing? This isn't them anymore. The Eagles, you know, who's left anymore? When Glenn Frey's not there, it's not the same group. You see it on TV shows. I give up on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Larry David is so jump the shark. It's not funny. It's the same tired kind of trope. And in the NBA, when you realize you're getting past players' primes, you have to react ahead of the curve. I don't think the Heat have. I don't think the Warriors have. And that's why they're in the position they are going into tomorrow's game.
So everybody's on the Orlando Isles, Gary Kemp. No more extensions for Jimmy, right? I mean, that's probably done with the Heat, right? That's not the, well, I mean, really,
you know
seriously,
what, Big O,
no way.
Okay, I'm not going to go no way for this reason. For the proper amount. No, Big O, stop for a second. Stop. Get your hand away from your eyes here. The proper extension for a huge pay cut still could be workable. That's what happened with Dwayne Wade. With Dwayne Wade, they realized he wasn't an alpha. Maybe he wasn't a beta. But you still had someone. If Jimmy Butler loves South Florida, loves how he gets treated here, wants to spend his winters here, and is willing to go from $60 million to something considerably less, I'd be okay with that.
Okay, no,
Jimmy Butler wants 2 years at the maximum and 2 years at $110 million. It's a negotiation. And if Jimmy's willing to pay back all that the Heat's done for him and helping him get to these NBA Finals or Eastern Conference Finals, I'm fine with that. Jimmy Butler can be a bridge for Bam, for Tyler, for Jaime, but he can't be the guy leading them into that next incarnation of the Heat. I think that's where they stand right now. So, again, will Jimmy Butler be with the Heat beyond the next two seasons? It's possible, but it has to be on the Heat's terms.
Yeah, no, it has to be on the Heat's terms. And talk about giving back, by the way, something that it's all hindsight now when you see it after it's all developed. But this marriage and the stage they gave Jimmy might have been what catapults him to the Hall of Fame. Okay,
yeah, because I would agree with that. And I'll tell you another thing.
He was a really good player leading up to his Heat career. But in his Heat career, he got the opportunity to lead a team to multiple finals, multiple conference finals. These are Hall of Fame resume filling type of things. You know, I'm not saying he's first ballot or anything like that. I'm just saying that if he ever makes it to the Hall, okay, I don't know if he does or doesn't, but if he does, he could thank the Heat. He could thank this opportunity and this stage that Miami gave him because it gave him the opportunity to be the best he could ever be, something he really never had in any other team.
No, let's take it to another step. Let's take it not only to Hall of Fame, but to being a star. He's on every goddamn commercial when you turn the TV on between his Michelob Ultra and his hotels commercial, and now he's trying to sell us on Hulu TV. So the whole thing is, so you know what? It works together. Look, LeBron James, when he came here, was a star. Chris Bosh was trending that way, had the personality. Jimmy Butler, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Do you remember a single Jimmy Butler commercial or theatrical appearance or television appearance before he got to the Heat? So it has worked together. So now
he was just an all-star before
he got here. A nice player who came up short in Chicago, in Minnesota, in Philadelphia. So I agree with that. They can work with them. But to go back to your initial point, yeah, Jimmy Butler is an every night player, is not there anymore. And it's made it really hard for the Heat, especially with the injuries.
Yeah. All right. What's the latest with Jaquez?
That's a one game thing where it's the same soreness that Caleb Martin played through, ankle, knee. Basically, it's the tendonitis. He's been pushing himself too much. Why has he been pushing himself too much? Because Tyler Hero's going on like a month now without playing. When you're without
Who? What?
Okay.
Who's
but
that?
But that's the problem for Jimmy also, is having to push yourself when the rest of your teammates aren't there. It is catching up to the Heat. Missing Kevin Love and having to play Thomas Bryant in those minutes. It's all these little steps that wear down a team. So again, be careful who you trust. You're saying don't trust Jimmy with an extension at age 38. Tyler Hero with his injuries with the four-year, $120 million extension, and now they're getting burned that every night they have a $30 million player who's not out on the court.
No, and not only that, he's untradeable. Literally untradeable.
If everyone's tradable with the proper sweetener. Jordan Poole got traded from the Warriors.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's untradeable because you literally have to give him away. But what I'm saying is, if you had a $30 million player that was desirable, because at the moment he's sidelined, okay, fine. But he's not a desirable player, so it just becomes a burden for the Heat because now they have to, like you said, add a sweetener to it. And this sucks. They have to go back to the drawing board to build them back up again to see if they can build the value back up.
You have to try to do that. You know what? It's like you were saying about your Bitcoin. You don't trade when it's low. You sell when it's high. And you've got to wind up doing something there with Tyler. They need him back. They need him back now. They need him back at his best. And that's what you don't know. What are you going to get? How are you going to impact the rotation?
Yeah. All right. What are you working on the Sentinel so folks can check you out, my friend?
I mean, just tomorrow, the Golden State Warriors coming in, and this should be the absolute, you know, must-watch TV game. Instead, the Heat desperately trying to avoid the play-in. The Warriors just trying to get into the play-in. It's crazy how life comes at you so quickly. 2023 NBA Finals, Miami Heat. 2022 NBA Champions, the Golden State Warriors. Like Eric Spoelstra said after yesterday's game, this league will humble you. And these are two teams that are absolutely being humbled right now. So we keep an eye on that. And I hate to keep doing this every game, but it's the injury report. Does Duncan Robinson come back from his back injury? When does Tyler Hero show up? Kevin Love, how bad can a heel be that you can't give me 10 minutes a game right now? It's these little things that are adding a burden. Thankfully, Hayward Heights.
We talked about this at the beginning of the year.
Sure.
That if you're going to play Kevin Love early on and a lot of minutes, you're putting a burden on that body. And so, because last year you got lucky. He didn't play much. He was on the bench most of the time. You got a fresh old man that came to play with you. And so you were able to milk him for a while and you had no issues. But now you're actually using him like a rotational player. And we actually talked about this at the beginning of the year, that that's the risky part. And look what's happened. Unfortunately, it's kind of caught up to him, and it's not his fault. Ira, it's just wear and tear, man.
Well, and it's what they thought they were getting from Thomas Bryant and what they did. Look, at the beginning of the year, they were talking Thomas Bryant and Josh Richardson, and forget about Max Strus and Gabe Vincent. We've got two guys at the minimum with proven resumes. Josh obviously gets hurt, shoulder surgery done for the year. Thomas Bryant never hit the stride that Pat Riley himself said he thought he'd be the key offseason gain. So now
I like him. I like it. Although I will say this. This was his best stretch of basketball. So
absolutely.
Far.
And I spoke to him about it. He's finally getting consistent minutes. So maybe something there happens if Kevin doesn't come back. At least he's active and energetic at a time when some of the team has been lethargic. So, yeah, that's an ongoing thing to keep an eye on out as well.
I fall on the sword with Pat Riley on that one. I was all in on Thomas Bryant.
I thought they got a nice pickup of an active guy. Simply has not fit the system.
Yeah. Follow him on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat. Better yet, subscribe to the South Florida Sun Sentinel so you can follow all of his coverage as always and the entire paper. Ira, thank you, sir. We will catch up next week, my friend.
After I buy the dip. Thank you, Big O.
You got it. There you go. No, it's up now. Don't buy now. Never stop buying Bitcoin is what I would say. Spring into performance sales event is going on right now at Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines, the new Integra 2024. $299 a month. You can get it 1.9% financing for 36 months. Also, the RDX. We should know we've had a couple of RDXs in our family. The 2024 right now, $419 a month. And again, 1.9% financing for 36 months. Spring into an MDX, $489 a month. And you can also take advantage of 1.9% financing. Go see Larry Schlossberg and Pat Nasso, Tony Stampone, and all the great people out there at Craig Zinn's Acura of Pembroke Pines.